Hello and welcome to the NFL Players Podcast. I'm Aeneas Williams. I'm literally hanging out with Lionel, that's right, Jelly Roll. Let's say it again, Jelly Roll Dalton. And it's an exciting story because not only did he play on one of the best defenses, the 2000 Ravens defenses in NFL history, he's literally allowing us to be exposed to the opponent that he's facing now. And we are all in agreement that he will have a kidney donor shortly. Let's listen in. Lionel, it's an honor to be on with you with this podcast. I'll just title this portion of it Urgency, kind of like that 2000 defense. Y'all play with a sense of urgency. So we're going to talk about football, travel, and your incredible journey to find to this point. But first, let's talk about your kidney and the time is of essence. So here's my first. Take us through your current health situation and how important it is to find a kidney donor for you.
Okay. So how important it is to find a kidney donor. And I found out that I had kidney disease on January 2020. We had just moved to Atlanta and we threw a New Year's Eve party. About 3 o'clock in the morning, I woke up, felt like I was drowning. I walked across the street. I actually drove across the street to the fire station. And my blood pressure was at a stroke level and my oxygen level was very low. They rushed me to the hospital after running tests for a few days. They told me my kidneys were functioning at 17% and I need to get on emergency dialysis as soon as possible. Ever since then, I've been on dialysis since January 2020. Now, with dialysis, the longer you're on it, the more it breaks down the body. So it takes protein, it affects the muscles, it causes issues with the bone breakage. So important to try to get a kidney as soon as possible.
Lionel, when it comes down to living legacy, what's the story about you finding the old business card in a plaque?
Yeah, Living Legacy is a company that I worked with when I was in Baltimore. I did a public service announcement for them. One day, a young lady who was an intern there called me back, and her name was Leslie, and she set me up with an interview with Good Morning America. And so I was on Good Morning America, and that's when I had my first living donor. Someone tried to donate a living kidney, and then we saw the response from that. Then we've been just constantly reaching out and trying to speak on other people's platforms to get the word out.
Well, now, when you say a living donor, what does that mean? Does that mean they are a match or a prospective match?
There's two types of donors. You have the deceased donor, which has happened when someone is in a car accident and they decide, or some type of accident, and they decide they want to donate the organs once they pass. Those kidneys usually have you in the hospital for a couple of weeks. They try to revive the kidney, and those kidneys usually last 10 to 15 years if you have a good diet and you take care of yourself and take your medication as prescribed. Then you have the living donors that come from directly from somebody who's alive, and those keep you in the hospital for 2 to 3 days, but 2 to 6 days, depending on how soon it starts to your body adapt to your body takes on the kidney. And those kidneys can last 20 years to infinity. I met a guy, he's had a living donor. His kidney's been there. He's had a kidney for almost 35 years. So it depends how you take care of yourself. But the living kidneys, you have a better chance of longevity with the living donors.
So after you got the word out this spring and this summer, what has been the reaction from legends and players, current players?
I've had a lot of guys reach out to me. I had Marvin Lewis call me. I haven't talked to him in a long time. We were talking about, old games and games that I played well in, and talked to people like Kawika Mitchell, played for the Chiefs with me in Buffalo. Had people like Eric Warfield reach out to me. I had Shannon Sharp. I've been talking to him on Twitter. He told me he's going to challenge me to a bench press contest once I get my kidney. So guys has been reaching out to me. They know I was a jokester when I played. So guys been sending me videos, cracking jokes, and, it's been real supportive, and I really appreciated it.
Are you saying to us on this podcast, you were a bigger joker than Shannon Sharp?
Yeah, I was one. Me and we were probably neck and neck. Well, on the Baltimore Ravens, you know, we had a lot of comedians. Also, Marvin Lewis called me and my friends the Yuck. We used to always crack jokes, pick on the rookies. It was, you know, I was that guy. I used to enjoy, you know, picking on the rookies. And that was just my personality. And then we always, I did a lot of the practical jokes. I used to tape up the rookies and throw them in the cold tub or put an icy hat in someone's, you know, underpants they were going to wear before practice. Or we would put like black ink in their helmets and they go out to practice and ink would fall over their face. So we did a lot of different things.
So how can people help save Lionel's life? In other words, finding a donor or encouraging others to become a donor.
You can go to my website, newkidneyforjellyroll.com. You can click on the link if you want to be a donor. But there's also information you can share on your social media platforms. So there's also another program. If you're not a match with me, you can swap your kidney for somebody that's a match with me and who can use yours. So I'm an O negative. So if you are A, you can donate your kidney to somebody else who needs an A, and if they have an O, they can donate that to me. So I've had a young lady in Baltimore actually sign up for that. So I got a few things in the work. I'm praying and hopefully everything works out.
All right, we're in the middle of a pandemic. 18 months ago, how has it been you adjusting even in the middle of a pandemic? In other words, talk about the support you've gotten from your wife and your family, especially during this pandemic.
It was tough at first. I was in a hospital and I couldn't have any, you know, visitors. And then I was in a hospital one time for a couple of weeks and I'm catching COVID in the hospital.
What?
So I'm in the hospital, I catch COVID, I'm dealing with these kidney issues. I'm like frightened. I'm telling my wife, get my affairs in order. This is for everybody, they really know how to treat COVID. It was nerve-wracking dealing with the kidney disease and dealing with the pandemic. It was stressful on my family because they couldn't come in the hospital to see me. So we pretty much did everything on Zoom. And it was rough because I couldn't see my kids and my family.
Lionel, anything you would share with legends, as well as maybe even current players, being in the situation, being in the hospital, catching COVID, thinking that you needed to get your affairs in order, from that experience, is there any wisdom you would share with us that would give us maybe more of a sense of urgency to get our affairs in order?
Don't be too tough to treat. Take your blood pressure medication because high blood pressure leads to kidney disease. A lot of us took a lot of medication when we played. Get your kidneys checked regularly, but just definitely stay on top of your kidney health and get checked out regularly, because if you put your body through that, there's a chance that you can develop this disease.
Is there anything that you learned while playing a game of football that you're drawing on now as you go through this particular challenge in your life?
Man, that was a great question. My old coach, Rex Ryan, one time I used to have bad plays, and Rex told me one play at a time, forget about the last play because you'll repeat the same mistake. So with me, I wake up, I take each day one day at a time. Some days I have bad days, some days I have good days. But I wake up assuming I'm going to have a good day.
Transitioning, because I have to talk about this phenomenal defense. I just heard Shannon talking to Skip about it on Undisputed this morning. And he said how against your defense, they were just hoping to get a first down in practice. And he really right. So talking about football, you had a long career, won the Super Bowl at age 25, went to 2000 Rams.
Man, I was 25, man.
25, baby.
Oh, my God. My son is almost 25.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. I'm getting old.
Yeah, come on, man. You didn't realize that?
I just ignore it. In my mind, I'm still 30.
Hey, I got you, man. I got you. Hey, describe your role within one of the greatest defenses in NFL history.
Man, intensity, perfection, accountability. We didn't need the coaches. You know, we had Ray and the linebackers. They were just like coaches on the field. We just played together so long, we developed a trust for one another, and our backups all left and went starting. And so we had depth, and we just believed in ourselves, man, and intensity. We all fed off Ray Lewis' intensity. Because Ray Lewis played every snap. So if you come in and you're talking about you're tired, you look at this dude, he's barely breathing. He's acting like he's this is the beginning of the game. But so feed off him. So it was very intense, man. And it was like very little tolerance for error.
Gotcha. Well, let's talk about this coaching staff now. You had all this talent. Jack Del Rio, Marvin Lewis, Rex Ryan, Mike Smith. What was it like? I know you had Ray coach on the field, but what was it like having the defensive minds in the room like that?
Those guys are great, but not to say this, they had it easy. Ray Lewis is pretty much the coach on the team. They called the plays, but we were on autopilot, man. I'm not gonna say we didn't need the coaches, but we knew what the heck we were doing, and we knew exactly what we were doing. And all he had to do was call the plays, and we were gonna make it happen.
When did you first realize who Ray Lewis was?
It was my second year. We were playing the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I didn't know how much that Baltimore hated Pittsburgh until it was first. This is my first time playing. We went in, and I almost got a sack on Cordell Stewart. He missed, you know, he did an Allen Iverson crossover on me. I fell. Ray caught himself. Cordell Stewart got a 20-yard head start. Ray ran this man down. I'm sitting there laying on the ground like, this dude is amazing. This dude is 250 pounds and just as fast as Cordell Stewart. He ran down Cordell Stewart. It was amazing. And I realized that I was playing with a true talent after that play.
Do you have any Rex Ryan stories?
I don't know if I have any PG Rex Ryan stories. I remember Rex Ryan, who was getting on my case? I think was it Marvin? One of the coaches was getting on my case. He said, I would get, like, I had that little chip on my shoulder, so I would get quiet and look at him, like, who's talking to me? Like, I would get mad. And Rex told me, listen, just say yes, sir. And yes, sir, in your mind, really means F you. So just say yes, sir, but in your mind, you think you're saying F you. And that will help him feel better and help you feel better about the situation. Yeah. So Rex was cool, man. I would love to play for Rex.
Yeah. Playing with Ray Lewis, what was it like playing with Rod Woodson?
He was like a monk. He would just sit back there and be quiet and just make plays. He wasn't very vocal, like, during the week, so he didn't really speak too much to the defensive lineman. I didn't really have a relationship with Rod, actually, but he would just sit back there and be quiet and go out there in the game and just make plays like it was not, you know. Rod Woodson, one of the greatest of all time. So,
and Lionel, a lot of people forget it. You guys were the first team that had the episode of Hard Knocks.
Yeah, Hard Knocks.
Yeah, what was that like? And what is it like if you still see it today? What was it like being in that first episode?
Okay, yeah, Hard Knocks was fun, man. We enjoyed it. Usually guys would get up and wouldn't brush their hair before training because Hard Knocks, guys, comb their hair and brush their teeth, make sure they look good for the camera. Sorry, guy, my 2-year-old just came in.
It's perfect.
But my part on Hard Knocks was the trainer. I remember he had to order me a special helmet because I had the biggest head on the team. And he took some tape and made a chin strap on one of the Gatorade buckets and told him this is Lionel Dawson's helmet. I thought it was funny.
Which legend from that team do you keep in touch with the most?
It's a couple. Cornell Brown. No, Cornell Brown had left the year. Keith Washington. Rob Burnett. Kyle Richardson, the punter. I probably talked to him the most. Jamie Sharper. And that's about it. Those are guys I talked to the most.
All right, man. You and your wife travel the world. Where did we get the title of your book? Who the hell are we?
So, growing up in the United States, I was around a lot of people who were big on religion and history. And I've met people that told me that we are Native Americans. I met people that tell me that we are Hebrew Israelites. I met people that tell me we're African American. I've met people that have all different ideologies of where, you know, America, African Americans are originally from. And so for me, I took a trip around the world trying to figure this out. So me and my wife were traveling, and we were just talking to people, interviewing people. And it was just about my journey, trying to figure out self-discovery, trying to figure out who I am and where I belong in this world.
Did you ever get the answer as to who we are?
I figure we all cousins. So I guess I figured in the end, I figured we're from everywhere. I met people from Southern India that look like African-Americans, United States. I met people in Europe that look like European people. So I've met people. I was in Dubai and I saw a dude look just like my grandfather, but he's from Abu Dhabi. For my travels, I just figured we all just a mixture of everybody.
Let's talk about resilience. We talk a lot about it on the podcast. What has helped you be resilient?
Actually, my family and my kids, man. I get up and look at my little girls, and I want to be here one day, and then they have their grandkids and walk them down the aisle. Looking at my kids, man, that motivates me every morning. Like, no, can't give up. Keep moving forward. Keep eating right. Take care of your body. Something's going to happen. A blessing's going to come. And so I stay prayed up. I stay prayed up and I stay playing with my children, and because they're my motivation.
When you get a new kidney, I'm going to repeat it again. When you get your new kidney and can have some semblance of normalcy, what would be your next adventure?
My bucket list. I want to go to Ghana. I want to go to Fiji, and I want to do a 5K run. I've never did a 5K, so I'm just going through something like this, you start to really realize, like, dang, you got a lot of life to live and things you haven't done yet. So I'm just going to keep checking stuff off my bucket list. Pray that, I live a long life.
Now tell us about your weight loss since you want to do a 5K.
Well, so I was doing a lot of research once I settled down for the first 6 months dealing with it, because it was nothing I can do. But doing research, it was a doctor in Australia that did some research on mice. And he noticed the mice who limited their food intake, their kidneys started to recover, and the deterioration process slowed down. And so what I did, I started doing intermediate fasting. So I would eat between 12 and 4. And I did it for about 6-7 months, and I lost like 125 pounds.
What?
Man, I feel great from it, man. I feel great, man. Besides the kidney, this is probably the best I've felt my whole adult life, because I've always been a big dude, 340, 330, 340. So, yeah, I feel lighter. My wife said I got a new husband.
Lionel, how do we get more information about this program?
LivingLegacy.com, that's their website. They're in all over the United States. I have my website, newkidneyforjellybo.com. Got a lot of information on there. We're trying to remove the stigma of kidney donor. A lot of people, want to take their kidneys to heaven with them. But you can really, one person can save up to 8 lives. So we're trying to, get people to donate kidneys and remove the fear. Because a lot of my family is afraid, especially people in our community, are afraid of kidney donating. Donating organs altogether is like weird to them. So I'm trying to remove a lot of the stigma, motivate people to donate and help save lives.
Well, Lionel, this has been outstanding, man. Thank you for being on the Players Podcast with me, and the best is yet to come.
Man, thank you guys for just helping me, man. I appreciate you guys helping me spread the word, and I appreciate you guys allowing me to speak on your podcast.
It's our honor.
To provide feedback or request a topic for discussion, email us at nfllegends@nfl.com.